it, Jesse. Wow.
Holy Hour of Power, the Terry and Jesse Show. Two Catholics with PhDs in common sense. We are here to speak the truth in charity. This is the Lord's Gym, and we are your spiritual fitness trainers. The month of April is all dedicated to the Holy Eucharist, which is the sacrament of the body and blood of Christ. The Eucharist is central Amen. To our Catholic faith because it represents the real presence of Jesus Christ in the world where he is king even now. Terry, how are you, my
friend? Jesse, I'm reporting for duty, sir. And Jesse, you know, what a day. This is the octave of Easter. So every day, the glorious set at Mass. This is really the greatest time of the year. It's actually better than Christmas. And the only reason I say that is because without the resurrection, the birth doesn't mean anything, brother.
That's right. Because anybody can be born, but nobody rises from the dead of their own power.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a need-to-know file. I want people, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow morning with Father Murr, about Cardinal Mueller telling Tucker Carlson, without Christianity, the West is nothing. So that's that's so true. I just want people to watch that interview. It was very good. Also, not only Archbishop Vigano says about President Biden must be recognized as excommunicated after he promotes the Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. Are you kidding me? I would agree with that 100%. These are just things that are going on in our country that you have to scratch your head and say, is this microphone really on? I mean, can a baptized Catholic do something like that? Here's my take, Jesse. The baptized Catholics over history seem to be worse than unbaptized people who persecute the church. Am I onto something?
Yeah, Terry, Joe Biden became the first president
ever
to celebrate so-called Transgender Day of Visibility.
Mm-hmm.
He invented this holiday, Terry.
Yeah.
Why? To push the drugs, the surgeries being used to mutilate children.
Yeah, horrible.
And not only did Biden recognize this fabricated holiday, which has no basis in history, but even worse, Terry, he promoted it on the holiest Christian day of the year, Easter Sunday. This is very clear that we're experiencing a new pagan cult that's smashing everything that we hold sacred. And Biden, who didn't even mention Christmas or Christ's resurrection on Easter.
No decorations, nothing.
No, he's made it pretty clear what he prioritizes, Terry.
Oh, yeah, that's if you had a doubt, you shouldn't have a doubt now. Jess, what about yourself? Need to know, file before we get some soul food.
A couple of other things that I'd like to mention is there's the cartoons also doesn't surprise me. The cartoon networks are also pushing Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. All these popular channels, which air several shows for children, none of them acknowledged Easter. Can you believe that?
Yep.
How about this? There's a study that just came out that says that smartphones rewire your childhood.
I bet.
So a psychologist is warning that smartphones have rewired an entire generation's childhood, increasing isolation, depression from friends, and causing developmental delays, as well as increase addiction risks.
Incredible.
Also, Jordan Peterson, he praises his wife's Catholic faith.
Yep.
Psychologist and author Jordan Peterson spoke about Easter as the core story of humanity. He gets it.
Yeah, he does.
In an interview with EWTN News In Depth, this was hours before his wife Tammy joined the Catholic Church this Easter at Holy Rosary Church in Toronto. Also, Terry, thousands of mourners line up the streets of New York suburb of Massapequa on Long Island on Holy Saturday for the Catholic funeral of NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, rest in peace, who was killed while on duty during a traffic stop. The 31-year-old officer left behind a wife and a one-year-old son.
Jesse, can I throw one more thing in? Because you and I really respect the World War II GIs. This is the last man survivor from the USS Arizona at Pearl Harbor, just died at age 102. Mm. His name is Alex Kershaw, and I'd like to pray a prayer for him. Eternal rest grant unto Paul, and let the perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace.
Amen.
Yep.
Also, a government-funded database lists pro-lifers as terrorists.
I'm on it.
So a database funded by the federal government and run by a research group at the University of Maryland recently labeled Students for Life of America as a terrorist organization. Several former counterterrorism officials have come forward to explain why they think the database's mislabeling of pro-lifers is dangerous. Also, Cardinal Wilton Gregory, Archbishop of Washington, D.C.
Good. All right.
Yeah, yeah. He suggested, I mean, he could have been stronger, but he suggested that President Joe Biden is a cafeteria Catholic in a Sunday interview.
What do you know?
Gregory charged Biden with, quote, ignoring or even contradicting the church's teachings on the sanctity of life. The cardinal has consistently hedged against denying pro-abortion politicians' communion, and in the same interview, he praised Biden for being very sincere about his Catholic faith.
Yeah, I'm sincere. I'm going to sincerely drink a poison, and it'll be fine. Give me a break.
God help us. Yep.
Terry, let's get some soul food, brother.
A little bit of soul food.
Yes, sir.
Today's Holy Gospel, John chapter 20.
I love this one.
Verses 11 to...
Yes.
Yeah, 11 to 18. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in while sitting there. Mm-hmm. One at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was a gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Couple things that jump out at me. Number one, this is why we as Catholics, we have sacred scripture and sacred tradition are both the Word of God, the two streams that flow and give us what we call the Word of God. The sacred tradition of the church, and I could quote you one saint after another, giants like Saint Augustine, Saint Catherine of Siena. The tradition of the church tells us that our Lord appeared to his mother first on Easter Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, the Bible records that he appeared to Mary Magdalene. It doesn't say she was the first person he appeared to, but the tradition tells us that the first person that our Lord appeared to was Our Lady. And that makes sense. Yeah. It's only fitting since she was full of grace and immaculately conceived. Now, here's something else that jumps out at me. Our Lord has the power to veil himself or to allow people to recognize him. For example, Mary Magdalene takes a look at Jesus. At first, she doesn't recognize him. Mm-hmm. But then our Lord, with his power, because he's divine, then he allows her, he removes the scales from her eyes, the veil, and he allows her to recognize him, and so she does. She goes, "Oh, Rabboni." And then our Lord says, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." He's saying, basically saying, "I've got to go. I've got to ascend back to heaven so that I can send the Holy Spirit that will live in each and every one of you. That way I can live in each and every one of you. So don't hold on to me, because you're going to get something that the whole world is going to receive through baptism." And also, the last thing that jumps out at me is where our Lord's, he's called teacher. In other words, it doesn't mean that there are not school teachers, Catholic school teachers, public school teachers. Just because Jesus calls himself teacher doesn't preclude other people from being called teacher. They're just teachers in a subordinate way, in a subordinate manner. A teacher with a small t, Jesus is a teacher with a capital T. And the last thing that I want to say is that Mary Magdalene, the tradition of the church tells us that Mary Magdalene, she's called the apostle to the apostles. Mm-hmm. Because notice, it was a woman who was fearless and believed that Christ could rise from the dead, went to go check the empty tomb, and was confronted by an angel and then Jesus. And then she went back to Jerusalem to who? Tell the other 12 apostles. That's why her title is the Apostle to the Apostles.
Awesome. Jesse, I just want to make a comment about the first reading of today's Mass. When it was second book of Acts, second chapter of Acts 36 to 41. Read it, folks, but I just want to testify on one thing. It says, repent and believe in the gospel, right? All right. And he said, every one of you be baptized. And here's an interesting thing. Save yourself from the corrupt generation. See, nothing's changed, folks. Those who accept this message were baptized. About 3,000 persons were added that day. Tell that to that Franciscan priest down in Panama who brags about not baptizing anybody in 40 years. This is the Bible telling us that we're supposed to go out and baptize souls in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I just had to say that.
That's right, Terry. And the fact is, that was the Pope's first homily.
Yes.
And it was to the Jewish people. And yeah. What did he tell the Jewish people?
Yeah.
Christ is Lord.
Amen. We're going to come back after a quick break, Jess. We got Stephen Mosier. He wrote a book, The Devil in the Communist China. We'll be talking about that and much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick break. Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Stephen Mosier, I think we go back 40 years when I first met you when you were a convert to the Catholic faith at Cardinal Manzini conferences. And I'm so proud of you. I just want you to know that, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. I have to tell you that, you know, I left California in 1995 in my van with six children. We wound up with nine, but yeah. We left with six children because I realized we couldn't keep them in the backyard any longer. Yeah. And the culture in Southern California, I was at the Claremont Institute, was
already
deteriorating. We were homeschooling.
Yeah.
And so we moved to the more welcoming, family-friendly environs of Virginia.
You're a smart man, my friend. Stephen, you wrote this book, The Devil and the Communist China. And Jesse, I have not read the book, but I can tell you, I'm sure it's well documented. And I'm so glad that you speak up for Holy Mother of the Church when so many people and high officials are zipping their lip or cooperating with the communist government. So thank you for taking a hit for Jesus.
Yes, well, there is real evil in the world. And I think that one of the tricks of the devil, of course, is to try to convince us he doesn't exist. But behind that is the notion, the philosophical notion, that evil doesn't exist, that everything is shades of gray. Morals are relative. Ethics are situational. You might do one thing in one circumstance. You might do another in another. Viewing the history and the career of Mao Zedong, the killingest man in human history, viewing the history and the murders committed by the Chinese Communist Party and its latest leader, Mao Zedong's clone, Xi Jinping, makes it very clear that evil does exist.
Amen.
And evil hates human life. The Chinese Communist Party, led by Mao for many decades, killed 500 million Chinese. 500 million. That's a half a billion people. Now, that's just a number. But in the book, I talk about the actual circumstances in which the killing occurred. Massive famines where tens of millions of people died. But he killed up close and personal as well in his early days as a bandit leader in the mountains of South China. He personally butchered landlords, strung them up and suffer death by 1,000 cuts. So he was a nasty individual, regardless of what aspect of his life you look at, from the rejection of God to his rejection of his parents and his own Confucian culture, to the embrace of communism, based on hate.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Mao Zedong admitted that, along with the great Archbishop Fulton Sheen. I conclude the book by quoting both Mao and Fulton Sheen, who never agree on anything, of course, but they agree on one thing. They agree that communism is based on hate.
Yes.
And Mao said that that communism is not love. It's a hammer that we use to crush the enemy. And they're still crushing the enemy. It feeds on an enemy.
Wow.
So they have to create an enemy if they don't have one.
Well said. Jesse.
Yeah, Steve, Just for those people that don't know who Steve Mosher is, here's a little bio. Steve Mosher was the first American social scientist to visit mainland China. He was invited there by the Chinese government, where he had access to government documents and witnessed women being forced to have abortions under the new one-child policy. Steve Mosher was a pro-choice atheist at the time, but witnessing these traumatic abortions led him to reconsider his convictions and to eventually become a practicing pro-life Roman Catholic. Steve Mosher has appeared numerous times before Congress as an expert in world population, China, and human rights abuses. He's also a prolific author who has worked tirelessly since 1979 to fight coercive population control programs and has helped hundreds of thousands of women and families worldwide over the years. Steve Mosher lives in Virginia with his wife, Vera, and their 9 children. The book is called The Devil and Communist China, From Mao Down to Qi.
Ooh.
You can get the book from 10books.com, 10books.com. And here Steve is pretty keen on shedding new light on communism,
yes,
with warnings of its global impact of destruction. And Steve, also want to congratulate you and Michael Hitchborn. You guys teamed up together. that's a dynamic duo right there. You get those two guys together on one issue, you're in for trouble. It all boils down to the fact that the way you're speaking, Steve, you sound like Fulton Sheen did 40, 50 years ago. You write about the hatred of God,
mm-hmm,
that it's at the heart of the evil ideology, this communism. What did Mao have to say about his creator? Was he an atheist or a theist or a God hater?
Well, you have to realize that Mao was raised by a mother who was a devout Buddhist.
I didn't know that. Okay.
But he rejected Buddhism as a teenager. Mm-hmm. And Buddhism actually respects all life. It says that people should behave in a moral fashion. There are some elements of light in the midst of that religion that come, of course, from God. But he rejected all that. Confucianism, he went to a Confucian school, which taught him to respect his elders, to respect his parents, and so forth. He rejected all that. And it's also interesting to me, as a Catholic who reads the Bible, that when Mao was 3 years old, he was a mere toddler. His mother took him out to a stone monolith that was thought to be inhabited by a powerful spirit outside the village where he lived. And at the foot of this stone monolith, which was about 10 feet high, there was a little spring. And she made him kneel down and kowtow, that is, knock his head on the ground, in supplication to this spirit. And she rechristened him.
Oh.
His original name was Mao Zedong, of course, which we know him by, but he was also rechristened by his mother, the third son of the monolith, Shusan Yadze, as you say in Chinese. And that consecration, as it were, to a spirit has always concerned me, because the spirits that inhabit rocks and trees and mountains are not our friends.
Amen.
And we're told, in scripture to keep ourselves away from that and free of such things as seances and an effort to contact evil spirits, contact spirits on the other side. Well, that's exactly what his mother did when she consecrated him to this spirit of the monolith, who may have been a demon. And if you look at his career, this man had a heart of stone. So his name, the third son of the monolith, or the third son of stone, is actually accurate. He had no feeling for anybody.
Wow.
He treated the Chinese people as a disposable resource.
Mm.
He sent millions of people to their deaths. And during the famine, of course, in the early 1960s, when up to 50 million Chinese were starving to death, he said, quote, he shrugged and he said, deaths have benefits. Their bodies fertilize the ground.
Wow.
Now, he regarded his fellow human beings, his fellow Chinese, as nothing more at the end of the day than compost.
Wow.
Who would fertilize the soil. That's the kind of man we're talking about. And he's the founder of the Chinese Communist Party. He's the one who led it to victory in the Chinese Civil War. And he's the one whose evil spirit, demonic spirit, really, continues to haunt China today. And he's the one that Xi Jinping, the current leader, models himself after in every respect,
Incredible.
From the personality cult to the hatred of God, to the destruction of churches, to the idea that Xi Jinping, like Mao, wants to be a kind of deity. He wants the Chinese people to worship him as the ancient Roman emperors wanted the early Christians to worship them as well. And so the persecution in China continues because, as you mentioned, hatred of God is at the very basis of the communist philosophy. The idea is that we don't need God because we're going to create heaven on earth. And of course, what always happens inevitably is you create not heaven on earth, you create hell on earth.
Amen.
And that's what Mao did.
I want people to pick up the book. Go to vmpr.org. There's a link for TAM Books. Any of the books you buy from TAM Books from our link, they give a little donation back to Virgin Most Powerful. So pick it up. Go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Click on the TAM link, and you can pick up the book, The Devil and the Communist China. Before we get a quick break, I hope we can answer at least portion of this question. Stephen, this book is an interesting combination of biography, history, and theology. You look at the acts of Mao and other communist leaders, the suffering of the Chinese people that resulted, and how every turn he turned away from good to do evil. Now, you've already brought up that this man has no love for his fellow man. Is this really a connection with the president, so-called, of China? He's just like 2.0? Is that really, do we have another Mao running China now? That's my question.
We absolutely do. Really? And Xi Jinping models himself upon Mao.
Wow.
In all things. He has, of course, this personality cult. His statues are being erected everywhere. People are expected to download a Xi Jinping app on their phone and every day read a quotation from the scriptures of Xi Jinping. The same way we should be reading the Bible. The Chinese people are required to read the works of Xi Jinping. His collected works have been published in the same way that Mao's Little Red Book and Mao's collected works were published.
Yeah.
So this is a man who wants to control everything in China in the same way that Mao did. He's known in China, by the way, as the chairman of everything. You don't say that very loudly if you're in China. You whisper it. But he's the chairman of everything because he's the head of the government. He's the head of the Communist Party. He's the head of the military. He's the head of the Economic Reform Group. He's the head of all these groups. And basically, the premier who used to run the government has now started what we call, he's laying flat, which means in Chinese, you don't do anything. You just sort of stay out of the way because he doesn't want to get in the way of the chairman of everything and wants to control everything. This is megalomania. And this is what communist systems excel at producing.
Yeah.
They excel at producing these individuals who have a lust for power, a lust for control, who want to set up a totalitarian regime. So that's why these creatures, these people, evil geniuses, emerge from communist societies again and again and again. The Politburo of the Chinese Communist Party is the perfect breeding ground for such megalomaniacs, who dream of being in charge of everything, who dream of controlling everything, everyone's lives, where they go, what they buy, how many children they have.
Unbelievable. Stephen, just before we break, the Vatican's renewing this two-year agreement with China that we've had heartburn over for the last, what, I think it was 2018. And
yes,
it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. Our friends in China who've told us about worship, you know, we're trying to the underground church. How bad is it right now in China if you're a Catholic who wants to work with the underground church? Are they that persecuted?
Well, they are. And I have to tell you that when the agreement was being negotiated, it was negotiated by former Cardinal McCarrick. He was the one who was going to China and finalizing the agreement. Now, if you were to pick an emissary from the Vatican to go to communist China, you probably wouldn't pick him.
You think?
Because the Chinese Communist Party saw him coming, knew what his weaknesses were, and I'm sure took advantage of them.
Oh, yeah.
But the agreement, I met with Cardinal Parolin, Pietro Parolin, the Cardinal Secretary of State, in June of 2018.
Hang on, Steve. This is a great teaser for a break. I got to hear the conversation with the Cardinal about the agreement with the Vatican and China. Wow, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We are too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, all three of us would be billionaires because our hope is in Jesus Christ. Stay with us, family. We'll be right back. Wow, we're welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Stephen Mosier, our good friend, he wrote a book, The Devil in the Communist China. You can get it by going to vmpr.org. Get the link from Tan Books. You were telling us a story, Stephen, about the Cardinal and you talking about this this agreement between the Vatican and the Communist China. So please tell us what went on with that.
Well, there's a chapter in The Devil in Communist China about this agreement, because when I realized the Vatican was close to signing an agreement with the Chinese Communist Party, I actually went to Rome, and I was able to get an hour-long meeting with Cardinal Pietro Parolin in June. The agreement wasn't signed until September. I was hoping that I could influence him in some way not to sign the agreement. I told him, number one, that the Chinese Communist Party had violated every agreement it had ever signed, every agreement without exception. Before the ink is dry on the paper, they will violate this agreement. Secondly, I said the agreement will be used against Chinese Catholics. It will not be used to create a safe space for them within China where they're free to worship. It will be used in various ways by the Chinese Communist Party to achieve its ultimate aim, which was to infiltrate, control, and ultimately destroy the Catholic Church in China. I don't believe God will allow that to happen, but that's certainly the aim of the Chinese Communist Party. Now, to his credit, he listened for an hour, finally, at the end, though, he said this, my heart fell. He said, we've already negotiated the agreement. We're just waiting for the Chinese side to sign it.
Wow.
Now, I don't think, Terry and Jesse, the Chinese side ever actually signed it. I don't think any communist official, short of Xi Jinping himself, would ever sign such an agreement, because he'd be putting a target on his back. But the Vatican has nonetheless, for the last 6 years, pretended that they have an agreement with the Chinese Communist Party over the appointment of bishops. That's what we think the agreement is about. Why can't we say for certain? Because the agreement is secret. No one knows what it says. So we, as Catholics, lay Catholics, cannot in charity look at the agreement and see what it says. And Catholics in China don't know what the agreement says either. And so when the Communist Party comes to them and says, the Vatican has said you must join the Catholic Patriotic Association, which is an officially schismatic organization separated from Rome, separated from Holy Mother Church, they don't know that's not true. They can't read the agreement either. Now, we believe the agreement concerns the appointment of bishops, and there were, in 2018, about 40 empty sees in China that needed bishops. And maybe the Vatican thought by playing nice, they would be able to fill dozens of empty sees with bishops. That hasn't happened. I think we're up to 8 bishops that have been appointed over the last 6 years. The number of sees falling empty is actually increasing because the appointment rate's so slow. And the agreement is actually now a dead letter because of this. Because a few months ago, the Chinese Communist Party appointed a bishop of Shanghai without even consulting the Vatican.
Wow.
And months later, the Vatican finally says, okay, we're going to recognize this guy as the legitimate bishop of Shanghai, because we don't want to leave the flock without a shepherd. So the agreement is a dead letter. There's no point in extending it. There's no point in pretending there's any sort of agreement with China. And the one statement, I mean, there are lots of things that break my heart about this.
Yeah.
But the one thing that really breaks my heart is there's a bishop on the run in China right now who said not long ago, he said, you know, in the past, he said, when we were under persecution, we knew at least the church supported us, the Vatican supported us. He said, now we're under persecution. We don't know if they support us or not. We feel abandoned.
I can appreciate that. Wow.
Steve, the last segment, I basically heard you saying that the Chinese people are being taught to worship Mao instead of God. I've read articles where they've taken down the crucifixes from Catholic churches.
Yes.
And they have a picture of Mao, it just installed right there and right over the altar in the sanctuary. I've also read that under Xi Jinping that he's rewriting the Bible for Catholics and Protestants. Is all this stuff happening?
Is that just talk?
Yeah, no, that's actually true. And let me tell you a Bible story. Okay. Now, we all know the story well. The woman caught in adultery.
Of course.
Right? And Christ asked those among in the crowd who are without sin to cast for a stone. No one does because they're all sinful like we are. And they all walk away. And our Lord says, there's no one condemn you and no one, Lord. And he says, go and sin no more. Well, in the communist version of the Bible, the story begins in the same way. The men surround the women and are about to stone her. And our Lord says, let he among you who is without sin cast the first stone. They don't. They walk away. And then in the communist version of the Bible, our Lord supposedly stones her to death himself.
Unbelievable.
Now, that's evil. That's a complete distortion, obviously, an evil distortion of Holy Scripture. But that's what communism does. I mean, communism is based on, is it theology of hate?
Yeah.
Hate one's fellow man. Hate ultimately inspired by the devil, who hates God's creation, who hates the idea that we mere creatures of the dust should one day inhabit the empty mansions in heaven that he and the demons that followed him abandoned. So his greatest victory is to destroy life through abortion. And China had 400 million babies killed and forced abortion in the one-child policy. But of course, his second greatest victory of all, is to destroy souls by preventing them from coming into existence at all. So this is philosophy of hatred that we're talking about. But I don't want to leave people with the idea that if they read The Devil in Communist China, they're going to, be depressed.
No.
Because every section of the book, I begin and end with a quote from Scripture. I begin and end with a quote from the Catechism.
Good.
Or a quote. Great Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And at the end of every section, I reflect on the evil that Mao and the Communist Party created in China and how we should recoil from that evil and seek the good, what is good and true and beautiful. So it's actually, I had to write it that way for my own sanity. You can't spend days and days and days in the mind of an evil genius without finishing up each day of writing by going and taking a shower, by saying a rosary.
Yeah. I get it.
So that's what I did. That's what I did.
Now, you and I both have a love for Fulton Sheen. I was at his funeral. I've been promoting Bishop Sheen for 45 years, and he did write much on communism. So I got a copy of the book, but you said that in your book, you're quoting Fulton Sheen. Did you actually read everything you could on Sheen on communism? Did that influence your book at all?
It did, and his first book, of course, is the very first book that he wrote. I think it's called The Cross and the Beatitudes, which is the one I quote. Talks about how communism is a philosophy based on hate.
Yes,
and he contrasted the clenched fist of communism, the clenched fist salute of the communist.
Sure.
With the open hand sacrifice of our Lord when he was nailed on the cross.
Beautiful.
For the salvation of the world. He's just a wonderful mind, and he's an inspiration to me, and I know to you and to many of us even today. So yes, I quote him him liberally.
And again, I want people to pick up the book by going to vmpr.org, click on Tan Books, the link, The Devil in the Communist China by Stephen Mosner. Jesse, you've got some more questions.
Yeah, Steve, the stories of Mao Zedong have been written before. So what makes this book that you've written, what makes it stand out? And what does it bring to the table that the reader may not have seen anywhere else in other books?
Good question.
Well, there are many, many books that have been written about Mao Zedong. Those that have been written by communists, of course, are nothing more than hagiography. Those who have been written by liberals gloss over the evil of this man. What I do is I take the Ten Commandments one by one, beginning with the first, and talk about how Mao rejected God as a young man and thought of himself as a god. He said, there are other people and things in the world. This is a direct quote. There are other people and things in the world, he said, but they only exist for my use and my pleasure.
Wow.
They only exist for my use and my pleasure. As if he were some sort of demigod coming down from Mount Olympus, treating people, his fellow Chinese, as nothing more than pieces on a chessboard to be moved around to his advantage. And we go through the commandments, his hatred for his father, for example, whom he once said was a landlord and deserved to be tortured and put to death as he was killing and torturing millions of landlords. That was Mao speaking about his own father. He abandoned wife after wife after wife. He was married multiple times.
Oh.
But But his greatest violation of the sixth commandment was he had read one time about how the ancient mythical yellow emperor had achieved immortality. How? By sleeping with 1,000 virgins. And so Mao, in his 60s, had his secret police begin collecting 12 and 13-year-old girls from the villages and bringing them to him every night. And of course, he didn't achieve immortality. He died. But in the process of trying to achieve immortality, he destroyed the virginity of hundreds of young Chinese women who deserved better. And they deserved better in this way, too. Once he used them, he just threw them away. They were sent back to the village. He didn't care for them. He had no feeling for them. He also had an untreated sexual disease that he transmitted to them. He never had it treated himself because it didn't bother him. So he may have been leaving them infertile as well. I don't know. This is evil. And you go through the Ten Commandments and you view Mao's life through this lens. He's a precise model of what we should not be. And if he wasn't possessed by the devil, he might as well have been, because every time he faced a moral choice between good and evil, he always chose evil. And I say that knowing that when he was facing a choice, if he could achieve his end by being honest and above board and truthful, or if he could achieve his same end of conquest or domination or murder by being deceitful and underhanded and lying, he chose deceit. That was his fallback position, always.
Wow. Steve, was there anything that you had to leave out of the book for the sake of time or space?
Hey, hang on a second, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break because that's another good teaser for the people. I want to just promote three or four times the book. I'll tell you why. People need to hear it. They need to buy the book by going to vmpr.org. That's the Virgin Most Powerful Radio's website. Click on the Tan Book link and get the book, The Devil and the Communist China. And when we come back from the break, Stephen's going to answer that question. Anything that you left out of the book for the sake of time or space. Well, that's a teaser. We want to hear about that and much more. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. This is the octave of Easter, man. We're a resurrected people today. We're going to say that Amen. Every day. 8 days in a row, it's Easter. When you get out, talk to people, tell them happy Easter. Hey, if we come Amen. Back, we'll have more with Stephen Mosher from Population Control. Stay with us, family. We'll be back after a quick break.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
And Stephen Mosher, author of the book, The Devil and the Communist China. Wow. Stephen, you just, Jesse asked you a question about, is there anything in the book that you left out because of the sake of time or space?
Well, I could have written much more about Chairman Mao's crimes and the crimes of those leaders who followed him, but I simply wanted to make a certain point and then move on to the general point, which is that evil exists. Yeah. The one section that I had to refrain from writing that I was very tempted to was to draw parallels between what's happening in China as they go down once again down the communist road to ruin,
yes,
and what's happening in the United States.
Oh, because big time.
There are parallels here.
Yes.
There are parallels here. There are lots of young people who, because of their unfamiliarity with socialism and communism,
right,
admire certain aspects of it. And there are also some very wealthy people like Warren Buffett's now deceased business partner, who said that he admired certain aspects of the communist system. What do these very uneducated young people and these very, very wealthy multi-billionaires have in common? Well, they like the idea of a system that gives them control over the people and gives them whatever they want in terms of supposedly free services from the government, without realizing that the billionaires, of course, think that they will never be brought under control because their wealth will exempt them from the controls that socialism imposes on everyone else. And the young people simply think that free stuff comes without a cost, and it's never free to cost you your freedom. So there were lots of things I could have talked about how China's going down the socialist road to ruin, and we seem to be going down that same road.
Yes.
And there's some question in my mind about who gets there first.
Yeah. Excellent point. I agree totally on that. Jess, what's another question?
Steve, who lost China to communism, and why was China so susceptible to a communist takeover in the first place?
Great question.
Yeah, well, there have been a lot of lies told about who lost China. And there have been a lot of lies told about the Chinese Communist Party, which the members of the State Department who were in China at the time said, no, these people, these communists really aren't communists. They're just agrarian reformers. They want to carry out a land reform. They're really Democrats at heart. You know, they're not so bad. Okay. The Soviet Union under Stalin knew that wasn't true. That's why from the 30s on, he was sending men and equipment and money every month to Mao in Yan'an, in his northern base, to build up that red base. And then at the end of World War II, just before Japan surrendered, what did Stalin do? He sent in the Russian army into Manchuria to take over the million men, accept the surrender of the million men under the Japanese Imperial Army who were in Manchuria. All of those weapons, those howitzers, the gunboats, the planes, everything that armed those that million-man Japanese Imperial Army was turned over to the Chinese communists, along with Russian military instructors and Japanese military instructors, who built them up into a formidable military force. Wow. Chiang Kai-shek, without that intervention from Russia, would have crushed the communists. China would have then experienced life under a system, the nationalist system, whose constitution is actually modeled on the constitution of the United States.
Wow.
Under Chiang Kai-shek, who was a Christian. He became a Christian when he married Song Mei-ling. I've read his diaries. He quotes scripture in his diaries. You know, in your diary, you're talking to yourself, right?
Yeah.
So he wasn't trying to put on airs or pretend that he was something he wasn't. He was a committed Christian. And all of that was lost. Why? Because while the Russians, the Soviets, were arming the communist Red Army of Chairman Mao, we sent General Marshall to tell the nationalists in Chiang Kai-shek that they wouldn't get any more aid from the United States unless they negotiated with the communists and reached a kind of settlement with them to set up a united government.
Wow.
You can't negotiate with these power-hungry megalomaniacs.
Yes.
Mao would never have consented to any sort of joint rule. But he used that period of time to train his army, and then he rolled over southern China. So who lost China? Well, the Soviet Union helped Mao. We didn't help Chiang Kai-shek. So that's why the Chinese people have been languishing under three quarters of a century of communism. Wow. And hundreds of millions of people have died.
Stephen, is there hope for an end to communism in China?
Well, I think that such regimes always overreach.
Yeah.
Okay. And right now we're in the middle of one of those periods of overreach because Xi Jinping modeling himself on Chairman Mao. Over the last few decades, China has seen enormous economic growth. Why?
Right.
Because the Communist Party stepped back and said, go ahead, start a business, go ahead, engage in foreign trade, go ahead, develop international markets and domestic markets. We're going to let you all prosper. That's what they said for 25 years. Now, Xi Jinping says, no, we're still headed down the road for communism. He's seizing control of private enterprise. He let the capitalists, a capitalist class, an entrepreneurial class, a wealth-creating class grow up in China over the last 25 years. And now he's expropriating their wealth. He's doing what communists always do.
Yeah.
he steals the wealth of the wealth creators. And that's what's happening. China's a very dangerous place today to be a wealthy person.
Wow.
Billionaires are being suicided. They're being arrested. They're being tortured. Wow. They're being killed by the hundreds, literally, in China today. That's why so many people and so much money is so desperate to get out of China right now. So it's going downhill, to answer your question.
Yeah.
Will they overreach to the point where they get a reaction from the Chinese people? I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Steve, you end the book with a call for America to reject communism because we seem to be moving in that direction under the Uniparty. So do you think the United States is on the verge of a takeover by Marxist-minded progressives?
I think that Marxism has reinvented itself, that it used to be based on class and economics, and now it's based on culture and ethnicity and race, and that they're trying to divide and conquer us. In the way that tyrants have always tried to divide and conquer peoples. based on ethnicity, race, religion, and so forth. This whole business about the meaning of Easter. What are we supposed to be celebrating on Easter? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not some splinter group of sexual deviants.
Yes, well said.
So there is this war going on, and it's clearly a war of good against evil. And people need to realize that evil exists, yeah. That it has a name, and that you can see it in action in places like China. And we don't want that here. And I think we're closer than many people think to having a kind of soft communism in our own country.
Stephen, I'm going to give you this next question. You're going to say, Terry, what are you trying to get me in trouble? I'm going to ask it anyway, because I've answered this. We have the Pope who we pray for every day, Pope Francis. He's our legitimate Pope. But he says that the most influential person in his life was a communist atheist woman in college. And so I think that that says a lot about where he's at. What advice would you give our Holy Father, you know, if you had a 30-minute conversation with him about the situation in China and of the world and what communism is about? What would you share with him?
Well, I mean, I don't think I have anything to say to him that he doesn't already know. I'd say that the battle, you know, for salvation is fought one soul at a time.
Amen.
It's not fought over societies. It's not fought over groups of people. It is a battle to win souls. And the battle begins with encouraging people to be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
It continues through discouraging abortion. It continues through encouraging lifelong, faithful marriages that are, you know, that result in lots of children and hopefully grandchildren. And that's where the battle is. The battle is not one of remodeling society into some kind of earthly paradise, because that's out of our reach.
Mm-hmm.
We can only save souls. And so the work of evangelization, the work of proselytization has to go on ceaselessly. And as we become Catholics, as we go down the road to becoming hopefully sanctified and ready for God's presence in heaven,
yeah.
we naturally do charitable work in the process of doing that. But the charitable work is done as an example of Christian living and Christian love.
Mm.
It's not done with the idea that we can create heaven on earth.
Amen.
Because we.
Wow. Yep. Good advice.
Jeff. Steve, you wrote a PhD thesis. Did you write it on communism? And I think you had mentioned a while back ago that it wasn't accepted. Is that.
You mean at Stanford when your degree was held up?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about
that. The late 70s.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, I was the first American social scientist on the ground in China.
Mm-hmm.
I found that unlike many of my Stanford professors who believed that Chairman Mao had done a wonderful thing in creating a new China, I found that the people in China were not at all happy under communist rule, that they called the Chinese Communist Party the big landlord because it had taken all the land away from them and made them work in huge people's communes, not for themselves, but for the state, for the Communist Party. I found that many people had been executed. Others had been tortured. After the Great Leap Forward, the Cultural Revolution, I was there when the one-child policy began. I was in the operating room when women who were 8 and 9 months pregnant were forcibly aborted. That's when my conversion began. That's when I realized that evil existed, because here was the killing of a tiny son of Adam, a tiny daughter of Eve, who'd done nothing to deserve the death sentence. They were innocents, and yet a death sentence had been issued and carried out in their case. That was a great evil. And if such a great evil can exist, there must be, you see, I thought to myself, even in my ignorance, I thought to myself, there must be a compensating good if such a great evil can exist to keep the universe in balance, because otherwise the universe is mad. If such a great evil can exist, and without a compensating good, then the universe is mad. I didn't want to live in an insane asylum. And so I began to seek the good. And if you seek the good, you will find God, because he's the source of all goodness.
Amen.
So I wrote my doctoral dissertation on my year-long field work in China, recounting all of these things. Well, Stanford didn't want to read it.
No.
And they asked me to go away. So I was fired from Stanford. What does it profit a man to gain his PhD and lose his mortal soul?
Thank you.
Hey, better under the park. Yeah.
Stephen Mosier, thank you for your fidelity to Jesus Christ. Thank you again. And your book is called The Devil and the Communist China. You can get it from Virgin Most Powerful Radio's website. Click on the Tan Book connection. Stephen, may God richly bless you and all the work you're doing. Yes, your final thoughts.
Thank you very much, Steve. That's a great contribution to Holy Mother Church. And let's remember, let's live in a state of grace, live in a state of mortal sin.
And remember,
let's pursue a life of holiness and become holy or die trying.
And remember, Our Lady of Fatima said, souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. Every action is like a blank check. If Christ's name is on it, it has infinite value. Please offer it all to Jesus through Mary. Thanks again for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you and your family. Happy Easter.